What's so great about? What's so great about? Who? What's so great about? 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 What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that's brave enough to really sink their teeth in and tackle what makes a particular topic so great. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
I'm glad to hear that your audio volume ups and downs haven't changed in these intros.
I've been up since 5:10 this morning. I'm a little punchy.
Oh, yeah?
Now.
I got you beat. Go on.
Yeah? No, go on.
4:00.
For what?
Since I've been up.
For what, though? What were you doing it for?
My child was laughing in her cot for some reason. Now, normally that would terrify you, but I was just sitting there like...
Put that monster down. Monster is for closers. You know what it takes to make a podcast in this business? Brass balls.
You call yourself a podcaster?
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
That is, of course, a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we are covering, as part of our 100-minute movie series, the 1992 film by James Foley, Glengarry Glen Ross. Mm-hmm. I had to do it. I had to cut you off.
That's fine.
You were just...
It's for the bit. And I tell you, I know we'll get to it after our preamble, but this is a movie that I've been looking forward to watching for years.
Mm.
And I thought, oh good, it's on Prime. And onto it, this video is unavailable.
Like, you motherfucker. I was the same.
And it was on last year because I put it on, turned it off because there was no subtitles.
On Prime?
Yeah.
No subtitles.
No, Prime. You remember what Prime used to be like?
I mean, I've never had a problem with Prime.
You've been a big advocate of Prime since day one.
Hey,
first of all, their user interface used to be, and still kind of is, a bit shit.
They've tons of amazing stuff buried.
You
wouldn't
know. Yeah, you
well,
wouldn't know.
I know. Clicky knows.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Because I have an app I use called Just Watch.
What?
I have an app I use.
Yeah.
Called Just Watch.
Yeah.
And you, when you're setting up your account, you choose what services you have. So I have like Netflix, Prime, Now, Sky, whatever.
It finds it.
You type in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Ooh.
And if it's on it, it'll say Now on Netflix. Or if it's not on it, it'll say this is not available on any of your streaming services. And then you can click into it and it'll tell you what it is on.
And is that free?
It's free.
Maybe I'll do that. I mean, I don't watch enough shit.
I use it all the
you would.
Time. I mean, I was watching a couple of Saw movies. We're in the spooky season officially.
Officially, yes.
And they were on Sky. My dodgy box, my Sky movies.
Did you rewatch Saw 1?
No, not yet. Saw 1, you really gotta sit down and be like, I'm gonna appreciate this movie. Whereas Saw 4, which I watched the other night, and Saw 5 last night, these are real pieces of shit that you can just have on.
And Saw like, 5 makes Saw 4 look like Saw 2.
There you go. Now you're talking. Good bit. That, like, for me, what I love about the Saw franchise is the most convoluted timeline of, like, well, they killed Jigsaw. Spoilers for Saw, by the way. This
yeah.
They killed Jigsaw in 3 and made 7 more movies with him in them. And, like, each movie...
How's that work?
Each movie, it's like John Kramer was, like, he was at the vet's office and somebody came in and kicked his dog. It's like, ho, ho, ho. Like, would you like to play a game? They wake up in like a dog collar, like, ah. It's like, you know, a dog is a man's best friend, but you were his worst enemy.
So this isn't Jigsaw doing this?
Oh, he has like disciples.
Oh, okay, okay.
Obviously, you've never seen Saw 2.
I don't. Well, I think I did. But I don't
remember. If you did, you would know that he had somebody helping him.
Is it memorable, Saw 2?
It goes Saw 1, Saw 2.
And the rest.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it gets to Fast and Furious style.
No, like, Fast and Furious shit. Doesn't tail off till about, I'm going to say 8.
Ooh, 8. Interesting.
8 is
most
terrible.
People would obviously go with like 5.
Well, 5 is the best one. 5 is when it came back.
Yeah.
came roaring back.
It did. 5, 6, 7.
I actually still haven't watched 4.
I haven't.
Two is probably regarded as the worst one. Too Fast, Too Furious.
I mean, just so stupid. Like, why? Like, why don't they just say Fast and Furious?
I love that they have a different.
Like, you know, why don't they just say Fast and the Furious 7 and then have.
I think that one is actually called Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Why don't they just keep it the same?
So it's like Fast 5, Furious 6, Fast and Furious 7, Fate of the Furious.
That's the best one.
Do you think so?
Title wise. Yeah.
F9, the Fast Saga, and then Fast X. But I believe you're supposed to pronounce it Fast 10. That's the only one I haven't seen. Oh, and 4 as well. Fast and Furious.
Of course. Who can forget? Yeah, I'm kind of done with them now.
Yeah. I mean, I went to see F9 in the movies because it was like post-COVID.
Yeah, you're just happy
to
be out.
It was like April 2020 when there was like, or May, where it was like, cases are down, summer's reopening. And you're like,
get me into the movies.
It's like, Faye was away. She's like, what are you going to do with your Saturday? He's like, going to the cinema. She's like, what are you going to see? Fast 9. She's like, really? I'm like, there's nothing else out there.
It's something.
It's like literally me on a Saturday afternoon alone in this multiplex watching it.
Do you know, I've never been to the cinema by myself and I feel like I would absolutely love it.
It's the best. It is the absolute best.
Just a little quiet space. Well, not that quiet, but a little comfortable seat that I can just sit in myself for 2 hours minimum.
Yeah. And watch something, like, even if it's not great,
you're like,
you know, you're gonna find stuff, you're gonna be like, I mean, that was pretty good, unless it's an absolute steaming pile of
shit. Where you're like, oh
yeah, I can't believe I wasted this. Oppenheimer's playing right next door, like,
we're missing the death blow.
Yeah, we're missing the H-bomb.
Well, it's been a while, by the way. Thank you very much for your patience.
Yes.
If anyone noticed, didn't hear from anyone.
Mea culpa, we had 1 week where we had a scheduling snafu, and then I sprung a little sneak holiday on Andy. Unscheduled. But yeah, I needed it.
There was Legoland, then we had Tony's gig. That was the only day we could do it. And
been 3 weeks, Jesus.
Yeah, and then Terry's thing. How was your trip?
Saving it for the Patreon, mate.
Okay. Well,
you guys don't get it.
I'll tell you all a very quick synopsis, because I already kind of talked to Terry about it. My trip to Legoland.
I thought you were going to fucking blow up my shit and go, I'll tell you what he told me.
Where he went.
Where he went on his holiday.
Yeah, I was at Legoland and it was very good. Mm-hmm.
You were worried.
I was worried. Yeah. And it turns out I was right to be worried, because traveling with an infant. Mm-hmm. Is not stress-free. Quite the opposite, in fact. Stressful.
Oh!
But it was...
Come faster every second.
First of all, I'm so inexperienced with travel, okay? So, first of all, didn't think about where I'm parking. Just parked in the short-term parking. That was 2 days. £120 was my parking fee.
And what should have been long-term?
I don't know. I actually have no idea. £20, £30 maybe? Still. So we're up at 4 with the baby, and so then we drove into the airport, then we're sitting on the plane for like 50 minutes, and then the plane takes off. She's having a shift fit. I very much have my downloaded Hey Dougie episodes like right in her face. The only time she was quiet is when she was watching that. I was like, I don't care, just, you know.
How long is the flight?
Well, on the ticket it said an hour and a half. I was like, what? But it was only about an hour.
Yeah, that's about right. Like,
and then
where is it, Windsor?
Yeah. And then we got there at like 11, and it's like, oh, check-in's at 4, and might have been up since 4 a.m. and desperately needed a nap. So you paid extra to check in at 1. And all this stuff I didn't consider
scam,
about check-in, check-out. Check-out time was 10 a.m. they saw us coming. But once we were actually there in Legoland, after she'd napped and all that, even the trip on the way back was great. Someone said, oh, would you like an earlier flight? We were like, oh, yes, please. But it was great. Like, Joni said she'd give it infinity out of 10. So that's
I'll have to have a word with her.
That's all I can ask for.
It's not proper, not proper rating. She's not listening to the podcast.
Doesn't she know maths?
Yeah.
It's apparently it's like more expensive than Disneyland to actually get in if you're not staying at the hotel. Because we were there for the whole day, the last day, just killing time till our flight in, like that evening, and we're like, should we go in again? But it would have been like, I don't know what, like some meant like 300 quid for us to go
the day
back,
pass for the family,
just
like,
to spend a few more hours there.
Fuck that, so, like,
you know. But it was great. I would recommend it when the kids are a bit older.
Centre Parks, man.
We're going to Centre Parks next.
Oh, yeah.
No flights. You just went there. You told me it was good. So I'm going
pool. I know you're big into the pool these days.
Big into the pool.
You love the pool. There's like, there's a young kid zone. There's a bigger kid zone. And there's just a big pool. A bunch of slides. Jacuzzis.
Perfect.
There is. Here's one for you. You go up and you go outside. It's like a whitewater rafting slide thing, so you're outside and you're getting like bashed around and all, like, for you, like, it's really fun.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. If there's slides, 100% Renee. Yeah. Johnny loved, there was one slide in the hotel pool, she loved it. But apart from all that, hey, I recently got a few penalty points on my license.
Hey, do dish.
It's, I tell you what, this whole speeding thing is a scam.
Where were you speeding?
The same place that I got all my other penalty points, because they know they catch poor saps like me out.
And how do they catch it? Is it okay. Just a camera?
They get this, right? So, I think they give you like a 10 kilometer an hour leeway.
Yeah.
Okay? So, the speed limit's 100. It's right at Coins Cross, you know, where the Apple Green is on the
M11? Yes, I certainly do.
So, that they park themselves about 500 meters before it turns into a motorway again, where the speed limit's 120.
Mm-hmm.
So, all those poor saps are not thinking, like, a bit, kind of speeding up a bit because we're about to
you're
go
getting
into
onto
the motorway,
yeah.
And they catch you going over the 100 limit because you're technically still on the national road. And I was going 111. Like, I mean, the amount of bad driving that I come across on the motorway specifically, and I'm the one getting fined. 3 penalty points and 160 euros. I still haven't paid it, but
160?
Like, they clear, and this is the
I wouldn't be
thing.
In a rush to pay that.
Well, then it'd be 240 or something. Like.
Oh, they add on to it, did they?
But like, it's such a like you know, they have quotas each month, so it's like, oh, we're down on our whatever income. I mean, I'm no business.
I'm no policeman.
But like, so it's like, oh, let's park ourselves here. We'll rack up a few extra shekels, you know, fucking swines.
Yeah, fucking pigs. Call them what they are. Hey.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of gaming, Andy.
Oh, yeah. What are you playing?
I'm on the Switch. You can see it there behind me.
Can't see it. Yeah, yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I bought a game called Disco Elysium.
Ooh,
have you heard of it?
No.
It is a RPG point-and-click type job, but it is one of the more interesting games I've ever played, because the game can end if you have an... If, like, say I'm talking to you, and I ask a question and then I choose the wrong answer and it makes you feel terrible about yourself. It's just like, it's like you fall into a crushing despair. You're not, like, you wake up like in your apartment, like you've been drunk, you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
It turns out you're a policeman. You're here to find a murder. And like, I've had a bit where like I found the body and it's like there's some kid throwing rocks at the body and I'm starting to question him. And whatever I said, the kid is like, get away from me. He's a pedo. He's a pedo. And it's like, you have a bunch of like, you know, responses. But like, everyone I chose...
ended the game.
Yeah. And you just go back to your save point, which is, you know, a minute or two before. But I was like, okay, so just don't ask him the question before that.
Yeah.
That brings you down that path.
Oh.
Yeah. So like, very...
And is there much action or is it all like dialogue?
I have shot a gun once.
Okay. And how many hours of gameplay?
I've only started it today.
Okay.
And literally started this
one of those cheaper ones that you get on the store on
no
Switch
no
online?
I bought the game on Amazon for 25 quid.
That's cheaper.
But I got a deal because I looked it up on GameStop. It's like 60 quid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I think Amazon is pretty good. I got Ghost of Tsushima for like 25 quid as well.
Ooh.
So
do you ever buy anything on the Switch online store?
I bought the subscription thing for, you know, SNES and NES,
the expansion pack and
all.
I have that too. It's great.
Did you get the N64 one?
Yes.
Is it good, yeah?
Yeah.
What have you got on it? Can you get GoldenEye?
GoldenEye's on it. Mm. Johnny actually loved GoldenEye. I mean, the graphics look so bad now, but I mean, they were
square heads.
Great at the time. Yeah. Mario Kart 64, Super Mario 64 is on it.
Woohoo!
So they're the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Woohoo!
And so on. But they add new games like once a month or something. But like I have the Mega Drive one, I have the Game Boy one. I tell you, I just love sitting playing a bit of Tetris. You know what though?
That's like, you're like, the vein in your neck is bulging. It's like, time to play some Tetris. And you know what? I like the concept of Tetris in real life. There's nothing. We were packing up the car. This is a bit of holiday talk for you. If you're not a subscriber, you want to get on it.
Getting this for free.
I like packing up the car.
You like packing up the car?
Yes. You know why?
Because it's like
Tetris. I like to fit. Oh, the buggy needs to go flat, and then we can put the suitcase on. And then we do this there. Because Faye's like, "Will you do you like doing that?" I'm like, "Yes." And I'm good at it. So I can fit everything in. And then I'm like, "Okay." And then those ones aren't going to fit in. They'll go under seats, under the kids, or whatever like that. But like, it gives me a sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, where you're like, "That won't fit there. I'll stick that in the back under the kids."
I mean, I'm talking as if I'm like, you know, creating some work of art or something.
That's what life is. Yeah. Just little things that you that you like to do. Now, I personally hate it.
I love it, man. And I don't
Jeez.
No, I'm like, when are we going? And it's like, I want to leave in like 15 minutes. Okay, I'm like, okay, give me 7 right now. You just look after the kids or whatever. Just leave me out the front for 7 minutes with the bags. I will get this done. And then we'll be ready to go.
Have you ever had a situation where it's like, we're not going to fit all this?
Yes.
You know? Like, just watch.
Oh, yeah, definitely that. But then we also had where it's like,
literally won't
fit. I can't fit it. I can't fuck.
I'm a failure.
I can't fit it. So like, I can't see it at the back. I'm like, fuck.
Hey, can I talk to you about something?
Sure, always.
Always Sunny.
All right.
Let's briefly talk about it. I've seen the new season.
What'd you make of it?
I actually thought it was brilliant.
Did you?
I thought it was the best season they've done in years.
I've only watched a couple of episodes.
Now, here's what I would say to you, okay? I find...
He looks awful, Dennis does, by the way.
Well, this is the thing. They all kind of, bar Frank, actually.
Charlie, does he look too bad?
The very first shot of the very first scene, I thought, oh wow, he's aged terribly. But I didn't really notice it. But I've watched it twice, right?
Okay.
This season, okay? Because I was craving some Always Sunny content. The first season, it's a bit jarring because they look so old, I guess. But then when
they
rewatched
it, they look like they've had a lot of work.
Yes,
done.
They do. But then when I rewatched it, I didn't notice it at all, and I appreciated it, and it was very Always Sunny.
I have to watch it twice. Is that what you're telling?
Well,
me?
I did. I don't know if you do, but I was struck. I couldn't stop looking at them the first time.
I mean,
and then the second time, I actually appreciated the jokes.
Everybody was talking about that. Dennis Reynolds takes a mental health day.
That's probably my least favorite one, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was. Everybody was like hyping up, and then I was like, okay, maybe I'll go give it a watch. And I was like, oh,
yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, the one I did like, except for the very end, was the bowling episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like
the way it just kind of ends.
Yeah, it's just like this whole big thing, and then it's just like, he's gone. And you're like, oh. It's like, that's the joke. You're like,
but it's definitely better than the last season, and probably the season before.
The last season was one of my least favorite ones.
The Ireland season.
One. Like, I think, I keep thinking back to like their depiction of COVID and their depiction of Ireland.
Yeah.
And like how terrible it all was. Like, it was just like, oh, like that's how it works. Whoops.
Yeah.
You know, that's how COVID works. You get over it in a day.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. You give it to somebody and it's like, I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I would recommend. Okay. And anyone watching it, and I only forgot because you told me like, but 2 weeks before I actually copped it again. You were like, oh, you'll be happy. Always Sunny is on Netflix. I was like, oh, great. Forgot about it immediately. And then, like 2 weeks later, something dropped. I was like, huh. I was like, and you know when you've got something, because we're always, every night, we're like, what do we watch tonight? And it's like, we went back over, we were watching like Idiot Abroad recently, just mad stuff that we hadn't watched in years. It was funny. But I was like, I got something for you. She's like, what? I'm like, the new season of Always Sunny. It's like, that's like prime time. We're getting in some good eats for that. You know what I mean? But
have you still got your Now TV subscription?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't.
Ah,
I'd never use it. I'm getting a Dodgy Box though.
Hey,
you know
it's a great show. If you get your Dodgy Box, it's a great show called Jury Duty.
Okay, go on.
Have you heard of it?
No, but
it is a hidden camera show.
Oh, okay.
But in the way, here's what it is. A guy is called for jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
he thinks he's on a jury. But everybody else in the show is an actor except him.
Okay.
And James Marsden of Westworld fame. Teddy from Westworld.
Is that
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah.
Right.
God, he looks so like a James Marsden, doesn't he?
Well, he is James Marsden, man. But he's in it playing himself. And the whole one of the gags is like he's called for jury duty. And like he's talking to your man and he's like desperately trying to get out of it. Uh-huh. And he's like, you know, you might recognize me. And he's like, from, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, he's right. He's like, your man's kind of like, I do kind of recognize you, but I don't know from what.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, he's like dropping a bunch of names. And then the next day he's like, I've watched that movie, man. It's so good. The man like is so earnest. Uh-huh. And like everybody loves him. It's one of my favorite like 30 minute comedy that I've seen this year.
Ooh.
And like his at points you're like, oh, this is cruel.
Yeah, it's sounds then, cruel.
Well, but then like everybody is so kind of genuine to, and they say it at the end when they do it, it's like these laughs we were having or whatever, like that wasn't fake, like you can't fake, like we had stuff we had to do.
It's like those, it's like those movies, it's like at first it was just a whatever, but then I changed. You know,
well I won't say what how he reacts to at the very
end. What's it called?
Jury Duty.
Okay,
it's really good.
Okay,
yeah, get on your dodgy box. I don't know if you can get it anywhere else on Ireland, but
yeah, I'll get it, don't worry.
In Ireland.
Don't worry about that.
Shall we pivot
ooh
into our main review?
Please.
Here it comes.
Put that coffee down. We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. The first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. The second prize is a set of steak knives. The third prize is you're fired.
The incredible cast.
Times are tight, it's tight. Pressure's just too great.
The memorable lines.
A, B, C. Always be closing.
The explosive drama.
You're hot, so you think you're the ruler of this place. Hey, you want to... Hey.
Shut up!
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
They stole the leads, they stole the phones, they stole the...
When I talk to the police, I get nervous.
You know who doesn't?
Who?
Thieves.
Starring Academy Award winners Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Alan Arkin, and Kevin Spacey.
Will you go to lunch? Go to lunch. Will you go to lunch?
Ooh.
Academy Award nominees Alec Baldwin and Ed Harris.
Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
With Jonathan Pryce.
Oh, what?
Siskel and Ebert gave it two thumbs up.
Have I got your attention now?
Lemmon is a revelation.
Look, I'm gonna make this office and I'm gonna be number one on that board again.
An American masterpiece about desperation and betrayal.
Talk to me, talk to me.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
This is it.
That was the trailer for the 1992 James Foley movie, Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross, based on the Pulitzer Prize winning play by...
Pulitzer Prize?
Prize.
Pulitzer Surprise?
Prize. With...
continue.
Pulitzer Prize winning play by David Mamet. Fucker. Care to guess? We do a bit of boyf.
Oh, please. I'm actually dying for a bit of boyf.
Hit me with the budget, Andy.
Okay, a lot of big names commanding some serious dough. I would say the budget, although it's
92.
I'd say 12 million.
12.5.
I am incredible at this. Oh, I'm incredible.
Okay, box office opening.
Opening weekend. None of this shite about, well, it only opened. Okay. I don't know whose voice that was.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Opening weekend, I would say 1 million.
2.1.
Okay.
Yeah, you're within your 5.
Boom.
Or
yep.
10%, yep. AC yep. said. Yep. Box office domestic.
Domestic, I would say... This is... Oh, domestic. 20 million. You are already shaking your head.
10.75 million. There is no worldwide.
Okay.
Yeah.
10.75. Okay, so stinker.
No, I mean it.
It was a total loss.
we're talking about it today, so it can't be a total loss, Andy.
Okay, true.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Critic.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 74%.
95.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Audience?
74.
88.
Wow. Okay.
And one Oscar nomination.
For best adapted screenplay.
Wrong.
That was an educated guess, though, because I knew it was a novel.
Yes, very good.
Because of that novel that you sent me to read.
It wasn't a novel, first of all. It was adapted from a play.
Whatever.
His own play. Oh, he adapted the screenplay from his stage play.
Oh, okay.
So, best what?
So it wasn't that. Best supporting actor.
Mm-hmm. Choose wisely. You got Jack a plethora. Lennon? No.
Fuck. Here, it could be anyone.
It was Pacino. Wow. You stupid fuck.
Did he win?
No.
Okay.
He did not. Some interesting facts.
Please. I am interested.
The movie is based on David Mamet's Pulitzer Prize winning play.
Cool.
It's from 1984. He wrote the play based on his experience working in a real estate office when he was a struggling playwright. He was the Kevin Spacey role in that he was the office manager handing out the leads.
The snivelling putts.
Hard watching Kevin Spacey, isn't it, these days?
Do you know, I actually could kind of separate myself from it. Even though he played very much that sort of like sleazy, you know, character that he's kind of known for now. I found myself not thinking about it, actually.
That's good.
You know, when I was watching it.
I mean, I just watched Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like he shows up in like the last third of Seven as
the
serial killer. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
This was him all along. Like,
like I feel if I watched them in like American Beauty, I would.
It's creepier, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But with this one, I was
Good in this. Like he is. You're like, I just want to punch him.
Yeah, I know. He's very much a snivelling putz.
Alec Baldwin was originally earmarked to play Ricky Roma after Al Pacino had briefly dropped out due to scheduling. But Baldwin left due to a contract dispute and Pacino's schedule freed him up, allowing him to play Roma in the end.
A contract dispute with this movie.
Yeah.
Money, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Producer Jerry Tofsky contacted Baldwin after this and begged him to take the role of Blake, which was added to the script specifically for him. Well. I got mashed potatoes in my mouth today. Because he was not... That scene, which we'll talk about in depth, was not in the stage production.
Yes.
It was added because he needed to make the movie a little bit longer. What a fucking scene to add.
I mean, it's the best scene, I think. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Baldwin said, after reading the new pages, he said, I've read 25 scripts this year and nothing is as good as this.
I'd say that is such a fun scene to play if you're an actor. You know,
like a day's work and you're playing somebody who has rehearsed. It's as if he goes to like five different offices a week to go do this, like, you know. Due to the modest budget, the biggest expense on the production is the rain, first of all. But due to the modest budget, all of the actors took significant pay cuts. Pacino dropped his price from $6 million to $1.5 million. Lemon made only $1 million, and Baldwin took $250K. I thought that was
interesting.
Quite interesting.
But I mean, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, for me and you, but like...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that, like, in 92, I don't feel like they had to exert themselves too much that fee. Like, that's a pretty... It seems like I get the impression this wasn't a long shoot. You know what I mean?
No, but it seems like it's taxing. Like, you know, they're long takes and they're...
Yeah, true.
You're going up against other heavyweights. Lots of words, you know?
Yeah,
like,
true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's... If you miss your mark, like, you could just imagine Ed Harris getting something wrong. You're like, fuck! Okay, arc it back. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Don't do that, Alan.
The
cast would show up on their days off to watch the other actors work.
Oh, cool.
Jack Lemmon has said it was his favorite ensemble he ever worked with.
I can see that.
It's pretty cool.
It's a heavyweight ensemble. Yeah. Like, I don't know much about... Where do I know the other guy?
Alan Arkin?
Alan Arkin.
You know him from...
What do I know him
Little from? Miss Sunshine?
No.
Gross Point Blank?
No.
I
mean, I've seen that, but I haven't. I'm trying to think. I know I've seen him or heard him
Yeah. Argo?
No.
Where do you know him from? I'm trying to think.
Dumb it down.
I really am trying to dumb it down. Little Miss Sunshine. No, fuck a lot of women, kid.
No, I didn't see that.
No. You didn't see that?
No.
Thought everybody saw that.
It seemed like one of them. Actually, you know what? I think I actually did, but I think I turned it off. It was one of those sort of like...
comedies.
Dark comedies.
Yeah. That's not even like dark. Not it's even. Just, it's like indie comedy.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh,
it's not. Comedies. No pratfalls. Worst kind. One. Yeah.
You know.
Where would you know him from? Oh.
I mean, he's in. I actually tried. I looked up his thing earlier, and I had a look through his filmography, but I couldn't. I couldn't really see. I mean, he's been in loads.
Yeah, I mean, he has. He's been around since the 70s. I'm trying to think what you specifically.
I do know his first acting role came in 1957.
Wow.
How about
Alan
that?
Alan Arkin.
He only died like this year.
Yeah. Very sad. Hmm. I listened to him on the late great Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. Him and his son were on it, and he's like delightful. He's like one of those old Hollywood guys that has stories about everybody.
I feel like I know him from him being old and older than that, not younger, you know.
Okay, let's see.
Like him as a very old man. I don't know how interesting this
he's
is.
He's in Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, I wouldn't know it well enough to know him. Jeez, from it.
You're killing me here, Andy.
I know.
Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Now, who does he play in that?
I don't know. I don't know. Sunshine Clearing. Santa Claus 3?
No, unfortunately.
Rocketeer?
No.
I said Gross Point Blank.
Never mind.
Dumbo.
Nah.
The new Dumbo.
I've seen him, but I thought
really grinding us to a halt here. And last bit of boyf was Jack Lemmon. He won the Volpe Cup for Best Actor at the Venice Film Festival.
He won the what?
The Volpe Cup.
Volpe Cup.
Yeah. It's a prestigious award they give to the best actor at the Venice Film Festival.
I tell you what. Well, maybe we just
we're finished, so you can rip the band-aid off.
What a voice Jack Lemmon. What a voice he has. Oh my god, I'm like captivated by his tone or his cadence. Is that the
right
word?
Yeah.
Just
his unbelievableness. Like
it's like almost like his voice and acting, whatever, it's like it's too good. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like
Grace,
unrealistic.
Grace, they got me a bag.
Yeah. Now I've got a something that has right around my desk. If you have just a few seconds. You know, like, it's just so, like, I can't get your man out of my head. You know, it's like, so let's get started.
It's
you
know? Not bread. Get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your favorite Simpsons episode.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. Check for
millipedes. Mr. Ormond.
Mr. Ormond?
Yeah, Frank Ormond.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in terms of the movie, you know what? I really enjoyed it.
It's fucking brilliant, isn't it? Like, it is like...
It's really good. Now, I will say, like, I thoroughly enjoyed sort of the first two-thirds of it. I didn't particularly enjoy the last half hour.
Really?
Or so. Yeah.
Why?
I thought it kind
of... Why?
I thought that it kind of... I was kind of thinking, where is it going? And I kind of felt to me, I know they obviously resolved certain things, but it felt to me like they kind of went nowhere with it. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? It's a tragedy at the end.
Yeah, okay, so clear this up for me, because also there's a good chance I didn't understand some of it. So Ed Harris is talking to...
That's the gif I couldn't find, where it's like Alec Baldwin is like leaning over him, demeaning him, and he just does this little like... nose thing. He does it like a finger against his nose and then brush it away. It's fucking excellent.
Well,
like,
let me actually start. We'll get to the end maybe towards
start at
the end.
Start and we'll get to the end.
I thought Alec Baldwin's scene, I was so happy to finally see it, and I've seen it being parodied like so many times.
I was so surprised how quickly it comes in. And my memory was like, Al Pacino's barely in this movie. And I'm like, oh, he's in fucking loads of it. Like,
yeah.
He's in at the start of the bar. They go over to the office. And then when they go over to the office, it's like, oh shit, Alec Baldwin's here already. Like, I was like, it's like 20 minutes into it or something. It's like, no, it's 7 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. And his monologue or whatever is like 8 minutes long.
So
and
good.
It's just... It was so enjoyable.
What's your favorite bit? What's your favorite? I think I could do a podcast on that 8 minutes alone. Like,
I loved that. Put that coffee down. Yeah. Yeah, that was great. I loved just fuck you. That's my name.
Fuck you. That's my name.
And like, you know, it was so like you could see like the Wolf of Wall Street taken or any Wall Street movie. Where it's like, I drove here in an $80,000 BMW while you drove here in a Hyundai.
You know,
all this sort of, I can't pinpoint.
You get them to sign on the line that is dotted.
Yeah, you're a good father. Fuck you. Go home and play with your kids.
Yeah. My favorite bit is the very start. Is like, are they all here? Well, just one. Well, I'm going anyway. It's just like, he's ready. And then he's like, but like I said, like that thing I sent you, the anatomy of the scene.
It wouldn't have worked.
If Pacino's there, because he'd be like,
"You think you can talk to me like this?
You fuck!
You stupid, useless cunt!"
This is this is if Tony Montana decided, you know, he's, what, cocaine's not for me. Yeah. I'm gonna go into real estate.
And it wouldn't have worked. And I like that, like, showing that, like, yeah, the Ed Harris character is the kind of the mouth, but he'll still, when he's told to sit down, he'll sit back down and kind of
gets up and leaves, and then he's like,
he'll scoff a bit, but like,
he's such a hero. Why are you down here helping us, bunch of bums?
Like,
I'm down here as a favor to Mitchell Murray. It's like, they should really take my advice and fire your asses. Yeah.
And you know, I watched that scene, this is the first time in doing a podcast that I rewatched something. So I finished the movie yesterday, and today when you sent me that article, that scene was part of it, and I just watched the whole thing again.
So like, good, like,
brilliant,
you know.
I think it's my favorite scene in the movie because it's so like striking, and it's mad how it's so iconic almost, like,
of course it is like it's arresting,
and it's
like the fact that it is from scratch, like, you know, they're working the source material is legendary already, and then it's like, and then we're just going to throw this fucking grenade in that is actually better than this Pulitzer Prize winning play.
And I like the fact that, like, they all, like, the first time we see him is the first time they see him. They're coming in, they're kind of talking, like, who's that?
You know,
and then he just starts. But yeah, great addition to the movie. I suppose my only problem, and I guess we'll maybe jump up and down a little bit, but explain to me, right? So Ed Harris' character wants to rob the Leeds, mm-hmm. right? The Glengarry Leeds.
What, the good Leeds, the Glengarry Leeds.
Yeah. And so, but then he's talking to your man, what's your man's name?
George. Something, Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin. Yeah. Yeah. He's talking to him about, you go rob the Leeds.
Yeah.
And then you realise, oh, he doesn't rob the Leeds.
Yeah.
Jack Lemmon's character.
He doesn't go through with it.
Right. So,
and your man,
I found that confusing.
Well, that's the whole misdirect of it. You think it's going to be George the next. So, like, you know, they go out for a sit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't even see them going. You see them walking back in the rain. And they come back and they're talking about how unfair it is and how the, what's your man's name? Jerry.
Yeah.
The other guy across the road who's gone out on his own.
Yeah.
Jerry Graff. Yeah, he's hit up the nurses. Now he's thinking, we're not giving 90% of our commission to them. And he's like, he offered him a job, but he has to steal the leads in order to do it. And he's trying to rope George into doing it. And Alan Arkin's so good in this, because when Harris is just like word vomiting these monologues, he's like, you know, like,
repeating the last
word. One word. Fucking. That's a tough skill to do.
Yeah.
As that. And then,
and not seem too cartoonish.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. And then you see, like, so basically you don't know what happens. And then Pacino shows up the next day and the place is robbed. And like, the Pacino stuff I think is great, because you see him, like, how cut above the rest of them he is.
Yeah.
That restaurant scene where they're just talking about shit.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, you know, fuck who you want to fuck, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, do what you want to do, it's your life. You know, he's spouting off this, like, he's pontificating.
Yeah.
He has your man in the palm, Jonathan Pryce, again, another fucking great actor. Like, you know, has him in the palm of his hand. He goes up to the bar, gives them a wink, and you're like, oh. Like, at first, he's like, he's just chatting to him.
That's what I thought.
Now he's selling them. He's going to, and he's like, I'm going to show you this. And, you know, he has it closed or whatever. And then when the next day you see, oh, the place has been robbed, you think it's George.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing. Yeah,
like Ed Harris is acting fucking crazy. He's nervous.
Yeah,
you know, and then but George is also very skittish and nervous, and that's the whole the gut punch, is that it wasn't George, it was
Jack Lemmon,
Shelley.
Okay.
The machine. Fuck the machine. And that's the whole thing.
I guess I was a little bit, I was just a bit like, huh. And it kind
but
of
it
like,
makes sense that like, so George doesn't do it. George says they're not gonna do it.
Yeah.
And it happens anyway. That's why George is acting the way he
but
is.
But he didn't say that he wasn't gonna do it. We only find
he said
out.
He said, I don't want to do it. I'm not doing it. He's like, you are doing it. You're in it. Like, that's Ed Harris.
Yeah.
That's his sales pitch. That's his tactic.
Yeah, yeah.
To try and get him to sign on the line that is dotted.
I like the fact that Ed Harris is a bit of a, like, he's just a real mouth. Like,
yeah, you got a big mouth. Like,
yeah, like, he's like, I got this plan. And he's drip feeding him this info. And he's like, you're going to do it.
He's like, I can't do it. I've been talking about it all night. Like, what? He's like, I'm gonna get an alibi or whatever. And like, so when you find out that, oh yeah, Jack Lemmon is the one that did it, it's heartbreaking. Because you see him the night before and he's like, you know, he's so desperate. He wants the good leads. He's willing to give Kevin Spacey $100 and 20% of his, like that scene of them in the car where he's like, you say 10, I say 10, you say 20, I say okay, now this on top. And like he's no, and he's like, all right, okay, like you know, he's like, give me the money.
You know, I found in that scene, certainly got their money's worth with the rain. Every time they opened the door, it was just buckets of water pouring into the car. It's like, oh my god, your upholstery.
Yeah. And like, so you see that, and then you see him go to like try and sell, and your man from The Sopranos, fucking grade A asshole, that guy.
I actually thought he was.
No, but he's always like.
Oh, right, that's his character.
Yeah,
though.
Like
yeah,
he's
yeah.
Not in this. I think he's quite reasonable in this.
In general,
like, yeah, you know, and like how desperate he is, how bad, like how behind the times he is.
Yeah,
you know, like
and the whole time then when he came in and he's like, get the chalk for the chalkboard,
but like that's genuine.
Yeah, and I was like, I was thinking like, did he though? Because like you don't see it. He's like 8 units,
he's like, I closed him this morning. He's like, this morning, like Pacino is like, as in like, and then you're like, oh, maybe like he's waffling because like that does kind of sound odd that you closed this morning.
I was waiting for Pacino to be like, huh?
Yeah, and then
something
he's like,
doesn't add up
here. Yeah, you know? But he did close him, you know, and like it's like the turnaround of like how smug Jack Lemmon is, and he's like, this is you know, you don't know. He's telling Spacey how he doesn't belong.
Here's your problem.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to teach you something. And like,
he's so
you can see, by the way, this is what I noticed about like Jack Lemmon. You can see that Bryan Cranston like modeled his whole career.
I meant to say it to you.
He
looks the spit of Bryan Cranston looks now.
Yeah.
There.
But like Bryan Cranston's whole shtick is like, oh, I'm Jack Lemmon.
Has he acknowledged that himself?
I don't know, but like it is like so evident.
I thought at least 5 times during the movie, that's Bryan Cranston. Yeah.
Like Hal, it's a bit of Hal from Malcolm in the Middle in there. There's the guy from Drive, that character there.
Oh yeah.
There's a bit of Walt in there as well. Like just imagine Jack Lemmon as Walter White.
Oh, that'd be great.
One who knocks. Say my name.
Where's the money, Skyler? But who? Like, well, first of all, this movie just made me want to watch more Jack Lemmon. To be honest,
he's great.
I thought I was
go
captivated.
Watch The Apartment. Something Like
and
a Hot.
I liked it. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Something Like a Hot. Great.
Who would you say is your favorite? Not necessarily. Well, maybe it is the Ed Harris Award for acting. We don't have to get to it quite yet. But who stood out for you in this movie in terms of with the big ensemble cast?
You know what? The one that I didn't notice before and I thought was brilliant was Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was so good in that. Like they said in that article, essentially, he's just sitting there when like Blake is like ripping him. Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
That gives a little back. The leads are weak. You're weak.
Yeah,
you know, like that kind of stuff, and like he doesn't say anything, even when he's like standing over him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, he just is looking around. He's this kind of like beaten down. He's like, then when he's gone, they're gonna bounce me out of a jaw. Like he's hang dog.
Yeah.
But like there is so much acting going on.
Yeah.
You know, all like
acting without acting.
Yeah, like
you know.
But it's a state. It's like there's something so satisfying for me watching a movie that. Because it can go wrong when this happens, but like watching a movie that is adapted from a play.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a single setting or a couple of settings. And you're like, you just get to see people flex their muscles.
Yeah.
You just get to see them play with each other. You know what I mean? And if the writing is good and the direction is good, it's so satisfying. I talked about it a few times, but like that movie, One Night in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar to this. It's four people. It's Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
It is Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown. Four like prominent African American people in a one or two settings thing, and it's just like very absorbing. And like,
yeah, I found that, and I had to kind of remind myself from watching it that I don't get into my usual like, am I getting bored? I wasn't really, to be fair.
Yeah, this, because it's.
But I was watching it, and I was like, wow, this is like Al Pacino and Jack Lemmon acting.
Yeah.
Acting, you know, with each other, I was like, this is great.
Acting within acting, like when Pierce, Jonathan Pierce shows up,
Jonathan Pierce,
the guy,
was that his name?
Yeah,
not the commentator,
Jonathan Pryce. Excuse me, Jonathan Pryce. Did I say Pierce? Jonathan Pryce shows up.
It's gone Archbishop Desmond. Two.
When Jonathan Pryce shows up, like looking all nervous. He's like, hey. Throw this on. It's like,
straight away.
You're a customer. Yeah. Like, when I do this, we gotta get like that whole scene is fucking brilliant. And then like when Pacino knows he's caught, and your man is like, "We have 3 days." She rang the consumer general. Yeah. We have 3 days to, you know, get it cleared. And he's like, "Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm back Monday. You seen my book? I can't come." And he's like, "Yeah, but that's 3 days." Yeah, but you don't count Saturday.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he keeps going.
He's like, well, what was last night? It's like Tuesday. And what day is today? Wednesday. And he's like, and when could the check?
The earliest I could have cashed that check.
Which is today. So that gives you Thursday, Friday, Monday. And like, all this thing. Like, he almost has him there. And then the other guy in the background being like, Mr. Levine, the cop in the background. Yeah. And he's like playing a different character. He's like, oh, maybe I could help you with that. Yeah. It's good. Like, he just goes into the office. And your man, Jonathan Pryce, like, kind of like something is going on, but like, dismisses it.
I like that it's turning up. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
That scene. He's just about to lose him. And then he's like, Ricky, like in the background.
The deal is dead. I don't care about that. This is me. Yeah. It's Ricky.
And I like the fact that every time he queried something, he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What? Tell me what?
Yeah, and he's getting a little bit like confrontational, pushing the man back on his heels. And then Kevin Spacey blows it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. We closed that last night. And he's like, he's like, oh, my God. He's like, you cashed my check?
Yeah.
And like exit stage left. And Pacino is like, you stupid fucking cunt. You cost me $6,000 in a Cadillac. And Spacey just being like, oh, fuck. And like, what makes it even better is that like, when Levine, Shelley is like, he's like, you know, shoving his face in it. And then he's like, if you're going to make something up, you know, make sure you have the answer.
Yeah.
And then
he's
like, then the penny drops. He's like, what are you talking about? Huh?
Yeah.
Don't fuck at me. And he's like, how did you know I didn't? Because he didn't drop them in. He was lying.
Yeah.
And that's why Casey is so, Spacey is so like fucking upset. He's like, I lied for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I lied to save face and now it's after blowing up in my face.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that whole thing. Like, and how quickly Jack Lemmon crumbles.
Yeah.
You know?
His eyes just like.
Yeah. He's like, I stole them.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever, Dave or whatever.
And he's trying everything. He's like, my daughter. He's like, fuck you.
Yeah. What a fucking prick as well, like, Spacey.
The amount of fuck yous.
Yeah, I mean, that's Mammoth 101, like.
And is it?
Yeah.
And I tell you, I didn't expect, Ed Harris is brilliant in it, but I expected him to be the best thing about it.
Did you? Yeah. Actually.
I did, yeah.
Why?
But I haven't seen much Jack Lemmon, and I actually forgot Pacino was in it. I kind of thought, oh great, Ed Harris is
like,
in it.
If you look at the cast, okay, so Spacey, 2 Oscars, Pacino, an Oscar, Ed Harris, like 5 Oscar nominations,
wow.
Jonathan Pryce, Oscar nominated, Alan Arkin has an Oscar, like, wow. Pretty much the only people that don't are
Baldwin,
like,
Baldwin have one?
No, he doesn't have one, but like, I don't know if he's nominated even, but like the people that don't, or like that aren't like amazing actors, are like the cop,
yeah, yeah,
and like the guy that, well, he's still pretty good, that like Jack Lemmon goes to like his house.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like everyone else is a fucking heavyweight, you know. Yeah, like
that, I definitely got the sense watching it, yeah. It's like, this is a real, you know, it's a heavyweight.
Yeah.
Well then, who would get your Ed Harris Award for excellence in acting?
Oh, it's really hard. Probably Jack Lemmon, to be honest. Like, yeah. If Baldwin was in it more, like, yeah. That, like that scene is impeccable, you know.
Yeah, it
like,
is. Yeah.
And like
the way as well. Sorry to interrupt, but like when he passes the briefcase, like, he's like, you know what it takes to sell real. You know what it takes to sell real estate? It's like he just goes past, and then like when he comes out, they're in his hand. Like he didn't have to reach in to get. He must have had them dangling on the upturned briefcase.
Brass balls,
gentlemen.
Yeah.
Like, so like
they're
smooth.
Coming in out of the rain.
It's like they're waiting to give you their money.
You're not man enough to take it. I think Jack Lemmon.
I would say so too.
Pacino is a close second though, because even like there's like you see like 5 different faces of Al Pacino in this, and the same with Jack Lemmon.
Mm.
But you see like the Pacino who is like a smooth talker, the Pacino who's kind of desperate to like,
yeah, yeah,
the Pacino
true, actually,
who is like a good friend when like, yeah. Ed Harris is like, he's having a go at him, he's like, Dave, he's like, you take a fart in here, the fucking place stinks for a month,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
you make one sale, yeah. You know, and then it's like your friend makes a sale,
fuck the machine, yeah, like there's that, then the bit at the end where he's like, you know, me and you, that's the heartbreaking thing. Like, he comes back out,
yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I meant to say this to you, Shell. He's like, we could do business. And like, he's getting the Glengarry leads. And yeah. Like, that's why, like, he's like, trying to talk. He's like, what do you want to talk about or whatever? And like, he's like, Mr. Levine,
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah,
Levine.
Yeah.
And he's like, nothing. You know, like, man, it's just.
Yeah, that was great. I would give it to Jack Lemmon too, if you're asking for the rating.
Please.
What did I give Jewel? 7.5?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'd give this an 8 out of 10. Which is a very good score. That's a B+ tier.
4 out of 5.
Yeah. Four stars.
This is a 9.5.
0.37246.
9.5 for me.
9.5.
This is like,
I mean, it's great, but
you tell me a better version of this type of movie. You know?
12 Angry Men.
Different?
And I've never even seen it.
You know what? I watched it when I was on holidays, and it's fucking brilliant.
That's one movie that I would actually love to see, because
it's so fucking good.
I like the fact that it's all set in
pretty much
real time,
and like it. The acting is different. The acting is very like,
it's not as bombastic. Maybe
no, it's not as natural. Like that method acting hadn't been introduced yet, but like it's still really effective.
Yeah,
where it's like you'll see somebody being like, no, he's guilty because of this, and then like somebody else like, well, but how could she have, she didn't have her glasses on. He's like, my god, you're right. And he's like, do you still think he's guilty? He's like, no, I withdraw my like, and like you're still really engrossed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know.
Okay, so you give this a 9.5.
Yeah, fucking loved it.
Great.
Yeah,
I'd say this was a success too. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm delighted this was on the bill.
Well, I wanted to get it on for a while, and I was like, how do you get? What does it fall into? What category?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like maybe if you're doing Pacino movies, or like, you know, when we get to our Jack Lemmon miniseries. Year 10.
Yeah. Real current movies. Yeah. 1961's.
Our most listened to episode ever.
Should we get our plugs in, Terry?
Sure.
You can find us, if you're asking, on WSGA.
Wait, 1 second. We didn't do our other awards, Andy.
Oh, what are they?
Our Daniel Plainview line reading of the...
I mean, it's got to be Baldwin.
Which one?
Ooh. actually don't know. I can't pick out one, but just all of it. All of Baldwin's scene. I thought that was brilliant. I was captivated. Just pick.
I'm going to have to push
pick
you.
Any random 30 seconds.
I'm going to
push
you for one.
Copies for Closers.
Okay.
I liked all that. Because he's so in disbelief. Yeah. You know, it's like, and then he's like, oh, no, I got it. He's like, you think I'm fucking with you? And then he's like, I am not fucking with you. You know, I loved it. I don't know why I loved it. Yeah, that's different.
Mine is, what's your name? Fuck you. That's my name. And like, he leans into him as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, but like, that, like the Pacino, you stupid fucking cunt.
I'll tell you what I love most about this movie is the fact that we have now incorporated it into our GIF reactions. Terry, I had one of the biggest laughs from a WhatsApp message yesterday when you sent me the Ed Harris like acknowledging Baldwin. Like,
yeah,
all
go
right.
Right, me like. Yeah. Okay, now we can get our plugs in.
Okay, you can find us at WSGA Pod on Twitter, now maintained by your boy, the boy Toner. And
I will promptly forget to do
I mean, you wouldn't be missing much. And then What's So Great About Pod on Instagram.
If you so choose, you can get us over on the Patreon, where you're going to hear a lovely little jam sesh with me and your boy Andy here. Just going to be a loosey-goosey episode this week.
Some moment.
€5 a month will get you access.
Unless you're some sort of...
sicko?
Someone signed up for a quid. I didn't even know they could do it. Adam. So I was like, you have a new patron. I was like, great. And it was like, €1? How is this possible?
You putting them on blast?
Yeah. Adam, come on now, man. We're dying here.
I gotta take my thumbs. €5 a month will get you access to all our previous miniseries. What's so great about the MCU? What's so great about 90s action movies? What's so great about Ryan Gosling? And what's so great about Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies? And then you also have tons of top five episodes. I'll tell you what I listened to recently, because we were doing a bit of a road trip. And it had me thinking of the playlist we made for our top five album openers.
Yeah, I used to listen to that sometimes.
Yeah, it's freaking good, man.
It's really good.
We also got like stuff like one-offs like Perfect Day, Dream Festivals, pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah, look, it's just me and Andy getting a little bit loose and loopy at times.
I tell you, I've got some burner ideas for upcoming Patreon episodes.
Oh, and also,
let me just say that.
If you are a patron, please send us on your ideas. We will always...
Almost certainly do them.
Yes. We love it. Otherwise, you can get me over on Twitter at TheBoyToner. Toner.
Woo!
I am all over the place today. Or on Instagram, TerryToner22.
TerryToner22
on Instagram. Andy, you can find him over. Where can they find you?
You can find me at Andy Cantwell on Instagram and Twitter. And Andy Cantwell 2 on TikTok. I tell you, grow me following back on TikTok. I'm back, baby.
Have you?
Well, I mean, not really. You know.
I often think about that and I'm like, that's fucking pretty... Pretty shitty that you're 100,000 or whatever.
Yeah, 150,000.
Yeah.
It's up to about
how about that? I also want to do this every week now because I'm terrible for this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Big thanks to Neil Murray Music for our theme song here and our theme song for the Patreon. The guy is a fantastic musician. He did some songs for our live show as well. And he's a great guy as well. Check him out on YouTube or, you know, just Google him. Just Google him.
Yeah. If you came to our show, all the music from the show was done by him. I mean, he really went above and beyond.
I think it's on the Instagram as well. You put them up.
It is, yeah. It's on our Instagram. Yeah. You can see it. And, I just love the man, to be honest.
Great guy.
I barely know him, but I love him. I love you, Neil.
Yeah. I mean, okay, listen to the Patreon and you'll hear me tell you I love you too.
On that note.
Yeah, we will see you guys next week for Andy's replacement pick. You want to tell the good folks what it is?
Stand By Me. Nobody knows.
You went with that one.
Yeah, it's just tip my tongue.
My darling, darling, stand
better, probably.
By me. And we might have a special guest. I'm not going to say who it is for fear of jinxing it, but it'll be fun time. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, to be honest. Otherwise,
catch you on the flippity flop.
It's great to be back.